conversation takes flight. Kraftwerk and Cloud Accords.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati.
Valati.
Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and to use? Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Medlock of LaPorte, Indiana. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
Here now? Hello, everyone out there. This is Kimberly Irwin. I am your host today of Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, a wavefarm.org enterprise. Good evening. Again, thank you for joining us live on air. This is Women's History Month, March, and I want to wish you all a happy one. This is Race Talks, and we are here every third Tuesday of the month from just around 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., which is where we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. Of course, I'm not here alone normally, and today is no exception. I have a great guest who I'm so thankful for having on my show because, as some of you have known from last month, my father passed. And when you have a family member who is beloved who passes away, it changes your life, or it certainly can, and it has changed mine. I'm still trying to stay up on the things that I love to do, but I am a little bit chaotic here. So having Dr. Cordelia Noble on the show today is really wonderful. And that's why we have the topic this month, Racing to the Top. And it certainly is apropos for that topic because of this month's theme, which is race and resiliency. And certainly I'm looking for Dr. Cordelia Noble's words today, so I don't want to put her on the spot to help me become resilient in the wake of such despair that I've been feeling. But I'm going to keep my energy up because this woman who I see right across from me is so beautiful, not just on the outside, but I can feel her inner strength and beauty, and I just can't wait for her to come out. But there's still some things that I have to share with you, as usual. No topic here is taboo. So we may bring up things that you may scoff at, and certainly I would welcome any conversation. So I am giving you, for the first time ever, the email address so that you can converse and with me and maybe even with some of the guests that I've had. So that make sure you have a pen and pencil, or if you're old school, or be ready to just take down some email addresses. I'm going to give you Race Talks email address and that of the station, because we wouldn't be here on 90.7 FM, which is a listener-supported, solar-powered, hands-on community media organization covering Troy to Poughkeepsie, Middleburg to Great Barrington. We wouldn't be here without listeners that are engaged like you, who would like to support with the funds that are needed to keep us going. And again, I want to mention solar-powered. That means we're not doing things old school. We are looking to really support our community and our world by making sure we are looking at how we can best keep the planet alive. So what are the segments highlights today? I am going to introduce guest talker earlier, because we have the DYK segment, 2023 inductees in the National Women's Hall of Fame. How many of you out there actually knew there was a National Women's Hall of Fame? Yeah, like, right. I know you, I'm thinking you're saying, all right, I kind of thought so. No, not really. Maybe no. But that was interesting to me. So I'm going to share some of that. Plus, we have talk terms, or a term, glass ceiling. And I want to quote a very wonderful woman who really has inspired me and many other writers, and maybe even this author, Dr. Cordelia Noble, by Toni Morrison. We're also going to have a musical moment to really showcase how women can be resilient with Andra Day's, one of my favorite songs by her. She's, you know, she has so many, Rise Up. So you want to definitely keep your ears to the radio or to your online listening apparatus to the end of the show, because, you know, I'm not going to play that until like the last 5 minutes. So, okay, I think I have offered all the info for what we're going to do today. So let me get right into my guest. Guest talker today is Dr. Cordelia Noble. And usually I make the guests go right into sharing who they are and what made them feel that they could come to a show called Race Talks and really be committed to helping the listeners understand what they do and how what they do supports people of color and basically of all ethnicities, because we are all one united. And so I'm going to give her an opportunity to think about that, why I'll share a few words that I want to share about who she is with you. Like I said, Dr. Cordelia Noble is here. She provides both mentorship and career coaching to a community of women of color. The Queen Collaborative is one in which she provides entrepreneurs guidance. This group coaching effort is supported by her authorship of a study of leadership development, self-efficacy, and career readiness among African-American Black women. I call her Guru of Guidance, who reached in because she received her EDD from St. Thomas University in Miami, where I live and taught in a school district, Miami-Dade school districts. Florida is she's a member of the National Association of Professional Women, which I always thought I wanted to be a part of that. So I might ask you a few questions on what made you join that organization, because I think that's a powerhouse women's organization. And she has free time, by the way. She likes to cook vegan meals, and anyone who was listening to this show for a few months recognizes I don't do vegan really, but I love people who do, because I want to take that step of getting healthy. People look at me and they see my figure and my form, and they think, oh, you don't need to eat well. I think we all need to eat well, because it helps our, not just our heart, our body, but our minds. And like right now, I'm really needing to have more spiritual guidance. So I think going vegan, at least for a few meals, will really cleanse the system and open the soul. So that's why I'm also glad she's here, because she might share a recipe or two. My fingers are crossed. Also, she loves to travel and spend time with family. So I want to have my listeners get ready for sharing Dr. Noble with you all. Dr. Noble, thank you so much for being here. And share with the audience, like I said, what makes you decide to be on Race Talks, and how you got involved in working with women of color, and a little bit about your authorship, and just whatever you'd like for the next few minutes.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate you. And first and foremost, before I move forward, I want to definitely say to you, condolences on the loss of your loved one. And I just wanted to say, be encouraged, stay positive, and I'm sending you love and light. So I just wanted to say that to you, you know, before I move forward with anything. And basically, a little bit about me, you know, you gave a wonderful, wonderful background and information about myself and my book. And so I have a long standing history and career in
recording in progress
development, and also in education. And so I've always been involved in those sectors. I've also done work in human service, helping families become sustainable. I've always worked within a community, building those positive relationships, because I'm a connector. That's part of who I am as an individual. And so I also have worked in the legal field for some period of time, because at one point I wanted to go to law school. So I started off on that journey, and being introduced to the education field and working with students is really what stole my heart. And so that's where I begin to put all of my passion and my energy into helping others succeed. So with that being said, in regards to women in general, I am really, really, really focused and diligent about supporting women of color. And this definitely relates to my research and my background, and not only because I am a Black woman as well, I'm able to relate to other Black women. So why did I decide to be a part of the Race Talks show on this evening? I think it is mainly, I know it's mainly because of the fact of my background, my research in regards to African-American women, and how they are the most disadvantaged compared to any other ethnicity. And so while a lot of individuals, when you talk about race and ethnicity and individuals' backgrounds and things of that nature, a lot of times individuals say, why do you have to make it a race issue? That's always like a question. Why does it always have to be a race issue? Why is it always about race? Well,
yes, I'm shaking my head. Yes.
Quite frankly, we always make it a race issue because it's about race, because, you know, there's a lot of different challenges that Black women face. We talk a lot about the glass ceiling as well, which, as we know, a lot of Black women are impacted negatively by the glass ceiling. So, you know, while, you know, some other individuals kind of frown upon the fact that it may seem like we're making everything about race, but that's because that's what we know. That's what we've experienced. So that's why it's about race. And so my book, A Study of Leadership Development, Self-Efficacy, and Career Readiness Among African-American Women, was also based upon race and my background and experience in within the workforce, and also applying for different higher level and leadership roles, having the background, having the experience, having the education, having the wonderful credentials, having the wonderful references, things of that nature, applying for those roles, feeling very confident that I would be promoted to those roles. However, not so. So of course, upward mobility became an issue. It became a challenge. And so I began to ask myself, is it me? Is there something wrong with me? And of course, you know, the public would have you to think that it's actually you, that you are lacking in some sort of miraculous thing that keeps you from elevating to certain levels. And of course, by the way, that's also called the imposter syndrome. So, you know, a lot of individuals can look that up. The imposter syndrome is where individuals sometimes might doubt themselves. They feel that they are not worthy. They feel that they are not able to rise to certain levels, and so on and so forth. So look that up. Imposter syndrome, it is a real thing.
And well, I'm going to share with my listeners, I'm going to add that as a talk term.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter totally syndrome.
Yes.
Imposter syndrome. It is definitely
it's
a real
word.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's a real word. And so because of my experiences within the workplace, I began to do some research and reach out to other women nationwide and allow them to expound upon their experiences within the workplace. And these women were, you know, I didn't know them from Adam. I reached out to probably about 20 different women across the nation. And so what I discovered was that they were experiencing these exact same things that I experienced. So it wasn't just me. There wasn't anything wrong with me.
No, there
which
isn't.
which was a great thing, which is a wonderful discovery. However, what I did discover as part of that process was that Black women are viewed differently relating to career progression. And so, based upon that, and based upon my research, what I found that resulted from the research was that in order for Black women to be successful in their careers, in their lives in general, they need professional development opportunities within organizations in which they are employed. So those professional development opportunities they need in order to pretty much get themselves ready for those leadership roles. There's a lot of different training that goes into being a leader. So Black women also need leadership development training as well, because not everyone knows what it means to be a leader or what to do in a leadership role, how to communicate with the employees, what are the daily tasks, things of that nature. What are the thought processes? You know, are you a thought leader? Those types of things in regards to leadership. So Black women need professional development opportunities. Black women need those leadership development training and skills so they can hone in on their level of skill sets and enhance their abilities. And they also need mentors. Black women need mentors. They need those individuals that are vested within their careers, someone that's going to help them along the way, show them the ropes, guide them, lead them, train them, and also be able to be someone that can go into the room and speak on their behalf. You know, because there are different areas that Black women cannot penetrate. We cannot go into certain rooms. And, you know, having those mentors that can speak on your behalf, is also a huge key in regards to Black women achieving success. So those are some of the main reasons why I'm very excited to be on the Race Talks show this evening. Of course, it is about race. It is about the reasons why Black women are unable to achieve career success. And I'm hopefully I'm hoping that individuals that do decide to take a look at my book will find some of those tools that they need in order to be successful as well. And of course, it isn't just for Black women. I also say the book is also for employers, for employers who might be interested in supporting their DEI initiatives. A lot of employers talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion because, of course, it looks really good on paper and it sounds good when you say it. However, implementation is a totally different thing. So having those tools and those resources available to you that will help you to support Black women within your organizations. So it's a great resource for the employers as well.
Well, you have
Now, I was hearing myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly fine.
Sorry, I had tried my earphones and they're giving me feedback. So I'm going to hopefully this works. I almost never speak without the earphones, but you packed a lot in there, and I just want to like go in and kind of pull some of it out, and let's go deeper in some of those items you brought up. Mm-hmm. Everything is so relevant. Mm-hmm. You said about five different things that I call pain points for leadership positions, for role models. I think if you're a Black woman and you are waking up every day, going about what you need to get done in life with a pleasant and general attitude, then you are a role model, because it's so very difficult in this time. I think there's a saying, and I'm going to get it wrong, when it rains for a certain group, it pours for those of us that are have less or are seen being marginalized. So I'm going to add Toni Morrison's quote here, because you mentioned, you know, it's about Black women, and sometimes people don't really want to hear it. You know, they want to say, hey, isn't it about everyone? And sometimes it really just is about Black women.
That's right.
I quoted that exactly. But she writes, this is a quote from her: "My world did not shrink because I was a Black female writer. It just got bigger." And what that means to me is, you know, when I was growing up, I'm 53 this year, and she was born in 1931 and she passed in 2019. But when I was growing up, I saw that people kind of wanted to walk away from the title of Blackness, even though, you know, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud. It was like you said, can't we just be, you know, together? Why do you have to represent a color or a culture or ethnic identity? Why is that the case? Aren't you just an American? And no, we aren't just anything. I mean, we are on the shoulders of our ancestors that came before us. And though they didn't all share the same fate, many of them have the same understanding because of how we were treated as a group. So you could have been different, but you weren't allowed to be different.
Exactly.
And so, but I like that she claims Blackness here. And she says it's a positive. And to me, and I think in my January show, the fact that I mentioned Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream and how we are at that mountain, but we're at that kind of top looking, we're there, sort of. It's like she was already there. And many of the women who are women of distinction that were being honored this month. And the fact that she was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame is quite a bit of this for this reason, that she was a person who saw who she was, recognized it, owned it, and believed in the good of in it. And I mm-hmm. think that's what you're talking about when you're saying that Black women need leadership,
yes,
aid, because some of this recognition isn't strong enough. It's like mm-hmm. they're there because they know they have it in them, but mm-hmm. they've been told differently. And so they now need support with someone saying, hey, yes, you got it, but
that's
now
right.
to another level, mm-hmm. right? So I just wanted to highlight that about Toni Morrison. And I also wanted to share where I'm getting this information from, because I think, though I'm not too much in the political realm, I, like you, I was interested in being a lawyer. So mm-hmm. I actually worked for a mid-sized Manhattan law firm right after undergrad. Mm-hmm. And I got hired because this woman wanted to know about Spelman women, because she read something about Spelman women in mm-hmm. an article. And mm-hmm. why? Not because, like you said, I had the credentials. You know, I graduated with, I don't know, it was 3-something. So mm-hmm. it was a pretty good grade. I was well-spoken. I wrote well. But that wasn't the reason why they wanted to see me. It was because, oh, it seemed interesting. What's that Spelman College like?
mm-hmm.
So, but mm-hmm. look, whatever got me in the door, right? So you mentioned having to be an advocate for yourself or finding someone to help advocate for you. So another person in this book that I wanted to share, who was inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame, being that this is Women's History Month. And she is one of the biggest personalities ever in any culture. Mm. It's Celia Cruz.
Mm, okay.
She was born in 1925 and she passed in 2003. Her motto, or her quote that they use for her, is, "When opportunity presents itself, grab it, hold mm-hmm. on tight, and don't let go." And in this mm-hmm. case, like you were saying, don't let someone else tell you no, right?
That's right.
Surround yourself with people who are motivating you to get there. So I just wanted to share that. And of course, everyone knows Celia Cruz is known as the Queen of Salsa. And she was the most important figures in salsa music and Cuban culture in America and known worldwide. And so mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure we talked about those two women who were inducted. And of course, yes. I want to get to more women things later, but I wanted to, I noted something that you said about upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to kind of get your perspectives on the term that I formally said that we would talk about, glass ceiling. Do you mm-hmm. believe there is a glass ceiling? And is it a different ceiling for women? I should say Black women, as opposed to white women. And what, mm-hmm. if anything, would we be doing differently to support one another? I'm a member of African Daughters of the Diaspora, and we are women of the diaspora. I think everyone is of the African diaspora, but people who claim it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to share that, because I would like to know for myself, I would like to know for the group that I'm in, and mm-hmm. for the listeners who are out there. And like you said, it's not about just about Black women. Mm-hmm. I think if you have the skills and the credentials and the know-how that you will impart, then it makes you better regardless of your identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And I do agree that there may be two levels to the glass ceiling. I believe that there's a glass ceiling in general, across the board. But more specifically, there is a glass ceiling for Black women based upon, you know, just Black women being Black and being a female. You know, those two things, just right out, you know, right off the starting gate. I always say to individuals that being a Black woman is similar to being a double negative. You know,
two negatives makes a positive.
Yes, exactly.
I'm an English guru too.
That's right. Which is a positive thing, you know, if you look at it from that aspect. You know, Black women have to work twice as hard compared to our counterparts, compared to white women and compared to white males also, because we know that from, you know, even back in our history, we knew that, you know, women were not working outside of the home. You know, women were stay-at-home mothers. They took care of the families. And most often, the male left the home and would go out and work. So, you know, that became a way of life. It became, in some aspects, an expectation that, you know, women are not built to be in corporate America. They are more built to be at home, being nurturers, mothers, taking care of the family, taking care of the children, which in essence, that's perfectly fine for any women who would like to do that. However, I honestly feel that, you know, women are stellar. You know, Black women are exquisite. You know, we are very... we have a lot of skills. We have a lot of knowledge. We know how to manage things very well because as women, of course, we're managing the household. We're managing, you know, the children. You know, there's and if we're working outside of the home, we're managing our employment as well. So just for that basic reasons, those basic reasons, I feel that Black women have a great ability to work in those Fortune 500 companies, to be at those higher levels. And so unfortunately, it's more difficult for Black women to reach those levels because as we know, it has a lot to do with the color of our skin. We understand that. And even though sometimes individuals say, well, that's not so, you know, there are Black women within Fortune 500 companies at certain levels, which I agree to that. However, that just happened recently. That hasn't been something that has been, you know, taking place for a long period of time. So I do believe that there are two levels relative to the glass ceiling. And the one that I'm most interested in, of course, would be the glass ceiling that's impacting my sisters, that's impacting Black women. And because I have experienced a lot of that in my career, in the workplace, which pretty much led me to write, you know, what I wrote in my book, I want to do as much as I can while I'm still living to give back to the community and support Black women and provide those resources for them and the information so that way they can avoid and not have to experience the same things that I experienced throughout my career.
Well, this leads me into asking you this question, and I would like to share with the listeners that we did not plan this conversation. In fact,
no.
As far as all of my guests are concerned, you are the person that I think I put on kind of like what one would say at the last minute, right?
Yes.
So I wouldn't say even that you are as prepared as another guest who had a
meeting
for 3 months. But so I'm going to give you this time because I'm going to share a few more women of note from this very amazing book that was sponsored by the New York State Senate, by the way. So the politicians do seem to want to recognize people who are well, women who are getting it done. And mm-hmm. it's a bugle bug about all women, and it's free. And if you are in the Albany area, you can just go by the Capitol and pick one right up.
Awesome.
I don't know if it's available online. And I mean, I think they have well over 50 women in here, and women mm-hmm. who are from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. Because I know that, Dr. Noble, as you're speaking about women in business, entrepreneurship, corporate America, that when you reach a high level, you have your skill set is the same. You might yes. be delving, you know, doing a deep dive into a particular profession or field where mm-hmm. you are able to talk the talk, walk the walk, and, you know, make leaps and bounds in that area. But one would say the basic skills necessary are across the board, regardless of, you know, what your field is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I would like for you to do, if you don't mind, is take a minute maybe to share or to figure out something that you might want to share specifically about what happened in your life. And maybe what you've written about it, so people could really understand the what I call the timbre of mm-hmm. your work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
if you can, do you think you could do that? I would say on the flip side. I don't know. I try to like steal lines from other people who have shows. But on the other side, on the flip side.
Yes.
Or just simply after I read about these two women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll be ready for us, or we'll be ready for you, okay?
Yes.
So I know that everyone knows about people like Madam C.J. Walker. In fact, there was mm-hmm. a movie that was about her. She was a transformative person because she was actually an uneducated woman. Mm-hmm. She was a laborer and a laundress who made herself a millionaire. And she did so because of, and I wanted to state her first because Dr. Noble is getting ready to share, it comes from who we are.
Yeah.
If we need something, then we make it happen for us. And then if we make it happen for us and mm-hmm. people are listening or around and they see that it's working, they want a little bit of that too. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you give some people a little bit of that, they want it all. But she also had the wherewithal to be around people who supported her, and she was an advocate for herself. At least that's what it was portrayed in the movie. Mm-hmm. Statement that I think that was really interesting that I didn't know, and why I mentioned her, although she's very well known, I didn't know this about her, and I just thought this would be interesting to add. She had built a factory,
mm-hmm.
hair salon and training school. And in 6 years after building, most people, you know, don't make money back in 4 years, but after 6 years of her building, mm-hmm. she became a millionaire. So one would say, oh, wow, you know, how lucky is that? But one would say that she started this from scratch. She started this from her soul. It wasn't
yes.
something, it wasn't a get rich scheme. It wasn't something she was like, what are they doing over there? I want to do what they do so I can make money. She did it for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she became so successful so quickly. And I would say that even if she didn't make the millions, she would have still been successful because she would have helped herself. So
mm-hmm.
you know, each one teach one. You gotta
yes.
learn before you teach one.
That's right.
But it's like when you get into the airplane, and if something happens, make sure you save yourself so you can
first.
Save others. And I think, like you were talking about women having families and being a support person for the family, and it's very hard for women to have the opportunity to be successful and thoughtful
mm-hmm.
because they're so often thinking of someone else. So I don't
yes.
know what you're going to talk about in your book, but I kind of recognize that in
mm-hmm.
people that I know, that they're so busy, and it's not a bad thing being a
mm-hmm.
giver,
mm-hmm.
that it's very hard for them to receive even
yes.
to offer something for themselves. So I would say your book, and I looked into it, is something that if someone were to access, would be something that they're giving to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing, because if you're not giving to yourself, then what do you have to give to others? So I wanted to mention that about Madam C.J. Walker, that she was in it for herself. And it's okay to be in it for yourself, right? And it's okay to say you're a Black this or a Black that, if it's culturally relevant to what you're doing. Of course it is. I mean, like what we're saying about Toni Morrison, she didn't write about white people. She wrote about Black people, the bluest eye. You know, so that, you know, it made sense. And the other person I want to mention, I think I had my finger on it, was Sarah J. Smith Tompkins Garnett. Whoa, she has a lot of names. She was the first African-American female principal in New York City's public school system. Ms. Garnett was also a pioneer in the suffrage movement, which means getting women to vote, founding the first Black Suffrage League in New York City to advocate for voting rights for women of color. And I think we talk of, I have a segment called First, and I didn't want to put them in the first category because there would be too many segments, but we don't talk about first in education so much. And I think once you start putting people on, you know, what do you call it, levers or on pedestals, then you start creating a group of young people who only see certain things. And I would like to put this woman as a female principal on a pedestal because those women who are close to the youth, who are around them, educating them just by their very stature, just by being present, just by breathing, I like to say, that's the role model that I like to lift up. And I just didn't want, it's not just about the Madam C.J. Walkers and, you know, hands up to her. Yes, you know, and people like her, but also people like this woman. And I like the fact that she was also honored in recognition. And I also want to say, because we're in this area, Hudson, New York, we have a Black female principal.
Wow.
Junior high school.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
I know people who, she just started this year in 2023, the 2022-23 school system, school year. But many people didn't know this until months after she started. I'm thinking we should have had a celebration, a parade or something. Because I don't think I'm wrong when I say she's the first one. So we are still having firsts as Black women principals. So I just want to give her a shout out. I'm not saying her name. You can look her up. But I want to give her a shout out. And I do want to maybe offer some kind of, you know, party or something. So if you're interested, so here I am giving you the email address. So if you're interested in that or anything else that you hear on the show, or you want to share your opinions, your thoughts, or you want to try to connect with Dr. Noble later, contact us at racetalksshow@gmail.com. You can always connect with me if you want to be on the show. I'm at www.KimberlyIrwin.me. Me. When I saw that you can have a dot me instead of a dot com, I went, oh, okay. So I'm at dot me. And you can have the form. You can just go there. You'll see what you know. You can see. So we're going to have Dr. Noble share how to connect with her, how to retrieve her book that she's going to share a little bit, a snippet of, so that we can understand the amazing amount of knowledge that one can receive if they access it. Okay, so it's on you now. Can you tell us a story about your life and how it led to something that you wrote in your book?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So again, my book is entitled A Study of Leadership Development, Self-Efficacy, and Career Readiness Among African-American Black Women. And what I would like to highlight about my book is the word self-efficacy. I know we've talked a lot about being resilient. We talked a lot about, you know, Black women and Black women being the givers, Black women being the mothers in their homes, Black women not being able to really receive as much as they give, because obviously we are natural nurturers, women are natural supporters, those types of things. Women have a tendency to just go out of their way and give everything that they can so that they can make others happy. And so, you know, the self-efficacy piece in my book is something that's key in regards to women being able to achieve success. And not only is this something that I talk about in my book, but it also relates to me as well. Being resilient, being positive, staying focused. And just a little bit of information is reason why I say that is I talk about this in my book is that, you know, I came from a household where I sustained some physical abuse as a child. I also, you know, married young, divorced young as well, you know, due to some different negative circumstances as well with that situation. And being a single mom with four children, you know, you have to be resilient. You have to understand that there's going to be some ups and some downs. However, because there is a lot of individuals depending on you, as you know, in regards to the situation and having children, they are depending on you to be successful because you are what they have. So Black women in general are just strong. We have to be strong. And if we're not strong, it isn't because we haven't been, you know, we haven't dealt with different challenges and issues within our lives. So self-efficacy is something that I really hone in on in this book. Again, it's another term of being resilient, finding your passion, knowing who you are as an individual, and knowing that you can be successful. I say a lot of times that individuals cannot be what they cannot see. They cannot be what they cannot see, which is another reason why it's so important for Black women to have mentors, you know, to have those individuals that might be in those upper level positions where they can aspire to be like them. And, you know, those individuals can share some of those nuggets with those Black women as well. So these are some things that I talk about in the book as well. I talk about career progression. I also talk about the glass ceiling, which we talked about quite a bit here on the show as well. I also have some statistics in my book relative to Black women and how they are the most disadvantaged compared to any other ethnicity, relating to housing, relating to employment, relating to their financial situations, relating to healthcare as well. We do know that Black women, and I mentioned this in another podcast that I was on a couple of days ago, the fact that Black women, in regards to childbirth, we have a lot of Black women that pass away, that lose their lives, you know, through childbirth, just based upon having poor health care. And that's just, it's just outrageous. It's outrageous. And so when individuals ask me, why do you make it a race thing? It's because, you know, these Black women are being the ones that are impacted by this. That's why it's a race thing. You know, these things are not happening to other ethnicities.
As you said, I mentioned that because that is not something that's surprising, I don't think, anymore, because it's on national morning television. You have I'm going to be wrong with the numbers, but it's about a 30% difference. And
yeah, 30% is a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's there. It's, you know, it's not in our heads. And it's not just Black people saying it. Now you have white men on television in the morning news quoting statistics. So if you don't want to know, well, if you don't know right now, it's more like you don't want to know. And that's certainly not an advocate position.
Exactly. And a lot of individuals, they just don't want to talk about it. You know, it's easier to, you know, keep your head in the sand and believe that it doesn't exist, you know, and if you don't recognize it or talk about it, then it's not there. However, that is not the case. It's still there. It's still happening. And it's happening to Black women on a high amount. And that's why I wrote this book, because I want to be able to get the information out to Black women relative to their professional development, relative to leadership development, and then also letting them know that it's important to have a mentor in your life that can help you navigate your career and the workplace. And of course, because these are some things that I was lacking in throughout my career. I never had a mentor. I did not have leadership development opportunities. I did not have that professional development opportunities. All of what I have obtained up until this point, I had to learn on my own. Well, I had to learn on my own.
I'm getting a lot of feedback. I actually had a call in, or I should say a text in, saying that it was a little spotty at times. So I speak a little slower just in case that's a problem. I'm not sure. We usually have a mic check, but you know, I came out a little late. So that's my fault today. But what I wanted to ask you is, because you mentioned that this book isn't just for Black women, it's for the people who are hiring Black women. It's for people
who have
a company in which they would like to facilitate the growth of Black women in their organization because of DEI. They don't want to just have it as a mouthpiece, but as an action. I'm all about action. And I'm going to throw in the fact that I'm writing and finishing writing a book that will talk about right acts. And so what I would like for us to do right now, before I play Andra Day, and then we'll have some time to talk a little bit on the other side of the music, the musical number, is what are the maybe two or three things that people who would like to support women in the workplace, Black women in particular, I know one person was like, you know, allow for them to have an opportunity to be with their children. You mentioned you had four children sometimes, and you're a single mom with those four children. So maybe your needs are different, you know, and so maybe not making the employee come to you begging for time off. Maybe it should be a certain type of environment where one could, you know, request, but with the understanding that there's a support system there. But I'm just putting words in your mouth because I didn't read that specific thing in your book or anything like that. So I'm going to ask that you share, you know, have some ideas, you know, how to get the listeners who are, and I do have one amazing listener. I don't know if he's listening tonight, but he texts me a lot about what he expects the show to be. Well, not expect, but what he gets from the show. And so what he has learned. So for someone like him, though he doesn't own a business, he talks to a lot of people who might have a business, so he could be, you know, each one teach one kind of thing. I'm going to play Andra Day. And on the flip side of that, I'd like to come back with that and then share with our listeners how to reach you before we wrap up, because this is a great show. So we're going to have that with Dr. Cordelia, and I love your name, Cordelia. Oh, it's beautiful.
Cordelia.
Noble. After, I hope I get the musical number. You know, it could happen. We could actually listen to it. Let's see. Okay. So I'm getting told that I can't minimize, but I can move the screen. Here we go, Andra Day, rise up, inspiration version.
I see it. So we can walk it out. We can walk it out and move. found it. The silence is it, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we will take the world to its feet. All day, bring it to its feet. All day.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
I'm going to have to stop there because I was informed that we were having a connection problem.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping the connection came back. Oh, wow. Okay, so, well, things happen. So we saved the best for last. That was probably not the good idea. So I want you to know that we now have about 3 minutes. So I wanted to thank Andre Jay for that really inspirational song. I didn't actually know the words to it. I didn't know she was saying in mountains, but that's basically what you're saying, that your book, I'm going to throw it out, will do really make the mountain of fear or not able to rise to the occasion of leadership go down.
Yes. Yes. My book will help those Black women to be able to rise up and, you know, follow their passions, follow their goals, follow their heart. And that's what it's all about. So it's in conjunction with Andra Day's song. And I think that that's a perfect ending for all Black women to know that they do have the skills, they do have the abilities, and they are amazing. Of course, and they're worthy of all great things in those higher level positions that they do desire. So this book will allow them the tools that they need, the resources that they need, and the information that will help them to rise up and to be successful in their lives.
So they're listening and they want more information, maybe about your collective. Was it the Queen's?
Yes. The Queen Collaborative, the Queen Collaborative. That's a, yes, I didn't talk a lot about that, but I am the founder and the CEO of the Queen Collaborative, and that is a entrepreneurship and leadership program for Black women, which is derived from my book, and wanting to do more to support